Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, January 30th, 2015. It's just after 3 UTC. I'm Sam Minter and Yvonne Bo is here. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello, everybody.
You may hear giggling and barking back here. Let me tell you what's going on here.
There's a lot of stuff going on out here.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
It's like, it's a zoo.
It is a zoo, but look, here's what happened, okay? Normally, when I do my podcast, my wife spends time with Alex, makes sure he stays downstairs, basically, he often gets away from her, but she's at least trying to do that.
She does a good job. Okay, considering
last night, my wife wasn't feeling good. A cold, plus things kept interrupting and my daughter wanted her attention. My son wanted her attention. My son woke up in the middle of the night, threw a little tantrum about something. Anyway, she was up, and she ended up only sleeping like an hour and a half, 2 hours last night. And she didn't feel good. So around 4 o'clock, my daughter gets home from school and takes over watching my son. And my wife goes to bed. Okay, yep. So she's out. She's out of the picture. So my wife, my daughter's watching him when I get home. And first thing, I was going to spend a little bit of time with him before the podcast, but he's like, no, I've got Amy. She's better. So he didn't want to. And so I'm like, fine. So I go up and I get ready for the podcast, blah, blah, blah. Just a few minutes before the podcast, Alex comes up to ask me for something. And I go back downstairs to check on whatever it was. And Amy's fast asleep on the couch.
Yeah.
So both my wife and daughter are fast asleep.
Yep.
My son came up, has been coming up and down and up and down, wanting various things for the last few minutes. And just before we started recording, woke up the dog. And
right.
now my son and my dog are rolling around on the floor behind me.
Right.
As I try to record. So
right.
That's where we are right now.
It's a zoo.
It's a zoo. And by the way, I was sick most of the week again, too. And apparently, Yvonne, you were sick, too, for a little while.
I've been not feeling well. But, so I was telling Sam about this. So I went to I'm in a group training class at the gym.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that I've been feeling was a headache, a dull headache that wouldn't go away.
Okay.
And I told my trainer about it, and he said, listen, just lie on the table. I'm like, lie on the table. Okay. So he went and he applied pressure to both sides of my jaw. Okay?
Okay.
All right. He took his thumbs, and he went along the muscle that goes around your jaw. Okay? Did that for a number of minutes, and you know what? My headache went away.
Well, okay, cool.
And my neck as well. He did that because I had strained my neck about 2 months ago. I realized that the pillow I was using was causing me to do some weird stuff when I was like lying in bed, and I switched to a different pillow. But that pain hadn't gone away. And apparently, I just been, Sam knows, I've been traveling. I've been going. I'm going back and forth. It's just one of these things that you guys have heard on the podcast. I haven't been in the same place not too frequently. And as a matter of fact, by the way, next week is going to be one of those weeks again. And it's just, between the going back and forth and just a lot of stuff, just a little bit stressed out a little bit, I guess. So that's just one of those things. So I just got to, deal with it, I guess, at this point.
Yeah.
But he did make the pain go away. And I was like, ah, look at that. So that felt a lot. That felt that I must admit that that was like quite. I felt quite good after that.
Well, you mentioned the like doing something with your neck or whatever. Like twice in the last couple months, I've been doing something. And it's something completely innocuous. Like one time I was leaning back in my chair at work. The other time I was like putting on a shirt and all of a sudden something spasms or something and my whole shoulder and part of my back and my neck are all just, very, okay. Very unhappy. And like,
well,
it's lasted, in the second time, the one this week, it lasted like, 12 hour. It lasted like a day. The other time it lasted a couple days, and I'm like, what the hell? And of course, the answer is getting old. But
one of my best friends down here said, said very eloquently that, you know, he's about 3 or 4 years older than I am. And what he said was that, listen, if you wake up and you're over 40 and you wake up and you feel no pain, you're dead.
Yeah.
So, put it that way. If you're waking up, you're paid. You're still ticking, buddy. Okay. All right. So there you go. Look at the bright side.
There you go. Anyway, we do have real topics for today. We're going to talk about the everything that's going on in Greece.
The Greeks. Yeah.
The Greeks. We're going to talk about
snide remarks about the Greeks.
Yeah.
Today.
The king of Saudi Arabia died. Netanyahu's coming to visit the Congress, but didn't tell Obama about it first. And Obama's a little upset. We had a big, like, last weekend thing in Iowa where a whole bunch of Republican candidates went and had speeches and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so there's presidential election stuff to talk about. I also want to respond briefly. There have been a whole bunch of articles about don't pay attention to polls at this stage. And I just want to talk about that a little bit. And finally, and we'll leave it to the end. Hi, Roscoe. Finally, and we'll leave it to the end, Apple announced earnings.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
So that's the plan. We're going to I did want to say one thing real quick, and it's not going to be a whole segment. I did finish another movie. I watched Jaws: The Revenge, which is the fourth Jaws movie.
Oh, God, that was the really, really, really bad one.
Well, you know, actually, the third one, I think, was even worse. But that's not
right. I think the third, if I remember, wasn't the third one the one where they had the shark at this park and it just, the special effects was just terrible,
Yes, it was.
That
like Louis Gossett Jr.
Yeah. So, that one was awful.
And the fourth one actually pretends that the events of the third didn't happen. It just pretends that
right, didn't exist. Right. Yeah.
But in any case, not much. Like, I watched the first Jaws because it was on that top 100 AFI list a number of months ago.
That movie is quite good.
And of course, I had to like go through. If I watch one, I have to watch the sequels, right? You have to have the whole experience. I've gone through the others, and I've now watched all four Jaws movies. And of course, the only conclusion is, you can skip all of them, except maybe the first. First one's okay. You know, I wasn't as impressed by it by some people, but it was okay. But the other three are completely forgettable. And the fourth one is actually better than the third one, but that's really not saying very much.
Thank you. Yes.
So. Anyway. We're not even gonna get to our well, I'll ring the bell early for this segment and we'll
let's go. Yeah.
Ring the bell early for this segment and we'll be back with Greece in just a couple minutes.
And it's not the movie.
Not the movie. Although if you want to come back and talk about the movie,
No.
You sure you could sing some of the songs.
No, it's okay.
Summer loving.
No. We're not going to go there. No.
Okay. Back after this.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620 and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs.
Everybody's doing a brand new dance now.
Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
And we're back. Since this is financial related, have to play the financial intro music. Okay, what the hell's happening in Greece?
So you got this party that took control of Greece, okay, won the election, and then made an alliance with they're a extreme left party. They got about 30-some-odd percent of the vote. They made an alliance with an extreme right party, okay, in order to get, you know, control. And I think their only common interest that I could see between the two parties is basically that they hate their European Union. Okay?
Okay.
So, they hate their European Union because of all the austerity measures that were basically imposed on Greece in order for them to get any money since Greece was broke. Okay? That's the only reason why they needed the bailout money. So you get this happening, and the Greeks have just been acting like a complete they're acting like complete buffoons. So today they go and
let me make sure. So the election was just a couple days ago.
Yes.
Is this one of these cases where the new government takes over essentially instantly, or is there like a sort of a government in waiting that's going to be in power? You know, but
I was more watching like what they were talking about from the economic standpoint. I did not delve into what the power transition is in Greece in terms of,
because I'm wondering, like, because people are talking like consequences are already happening.
It would appear so. So I would.
So I imagine it's a fairly quick transition, and they're essentially already there.
Yes, that is what it has seemed like to me. Okay, to this point. So
can you imagine if our elections were like that? We have the election on like a Wednesday, and by Friday, the new guy's in charge.
Yeah, that'd be kind of. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just be a little bit. It'd be wacky. I'll tell you that. You know. I mean, we've had problems already with transitions, even with the number of days that we've got, even right now. In between, imagine if it was that short.
Yeah.
What are they doing
that everybody's up in arms about?
Well, they basically are repudiating almost everything that the European Union had imposed on them. And then today, to top it all off, which I just think...
So wait, are they defaulting on debt? Are they leaving
they
the euro?
What's going on? They need a loan, okay? They need money, okay? The European Union had set a certain number of conditions for them to continue receiving money for the EU that had to be met. And they need a certain amount of money to be dispersed by the EU by March. If they don't get it, they're not going to be able to make payments on a whole bunch of other debt, okay, right, in order to get that money.
Now, do they care? Are they ready to just say, fuck it, we'll default?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if this is just a whole bunch of saber-rattling in order to get some concessions to what they want, okay, basically, or if these guys are really driving towards a default. But then to add, the thing that I just thought was hilarious today, which I was just like, really? I mean, this is just idiotic, is that today, so the EU has been considering additional sanctions on Russia because of the Ukraine invasion and other stuff and whatnot, okay? So the Greeks go today and say that they, number one, that they're opposed to the additional sanctions to Russia, and they went and they actually said to Russia, hey, can you guys give us money?
Okay.
To which I began to laugh because the Russians right now are so hard up on money that they have not been able to sell a bond to anybody. And I am like, okay, so you're telling the guys that have money, fuck you, I don't want to work with you. And now you've decided that you think that the Germans and those guys are too – the French, they're too authoritarian. So I'm going to be chummy with Putin, who basically just invades every neighbor that he gets pissed off at and I guess maybe owes him money or something. Right? That's their brilliant plan? And I'm like today, I was like, you know what? If this new leadership of Greece is so stupid, I'm like, I don't understand what is everybody's fear in Europe about just kicking Greece out of the euro or the EU. Period. Just kick them out. So what? I don't think that the euro is going to collapse because Greece is kicked out.
Now, I mentioned, when we did our annual show this year, for the first time in several years, we didn't have a prediction on whether or not any countries would leave the euro. And now all of a sudden we're talking about it again.
Well, we're talking about it because there was an unexpected change in government control. I think it's... Well, I'm saying it from a perspective that I think that if it were me and I were the Germans, I'd say fuck him. Let's kick him out. I don't see the point. I really don't see the point. They, you know, they chose the government that they chose. They are totally against everything that they, all the conditions that were set in order for them to get loans. They believe that they're getting screwed, even though they're the ones that went and overspent like a whole bunch of fucking drunken, you know, sailors for the last 15 years and basically got themselves into this financial hole that they are right now. And now they want to blame everybody else. And I'm just like, well, fine. You know, you want to blame everybody else. Well, then, you know what? You don't have to do it all off my back. Fuck you. Just, you know, I take the loss and just fucking dump them. If it were me, that's what I would do.
Just out of the currency or out of everything else, too, or what?
No, it's just that it's pointless. I mean, if you're putting good money after bad. And if they don't even appreciate it, then what the hell's the point? I mean, and then they go over to like fucking like go to the Russians and go and say, hey, would you give us some fucking money? I mean, are you fucking kidding me?
Well,
let's
play this scenario out. Let's say, you know, Europe kicks them out of the euro.
Yep.
And then Greece proceeds to say, fuck it, we can't pay any of this. We're defaulting on 100% of our debt and starting clean with a new currency and no debt. What are the ramifications of that?
Well, here's the thing. It's not that easy to just go and say, you're not going to pay any of that debt. Let's be clear about this.
Sure it is.
It's not.
There may be consequences, but there's nothing stopping you from saying, no, we're not paying.
You could say you're not paying it, but it doesn't mean that you will be able to really exercise that because you have money, you have to transact in foreign countries, you have to do things unless you are planning on not moving one dime outside of Greece ever again, then yes, then you could do that.
Well, I was about to say, like, the equivalent is I could stop paying all of my bills tomorrow. There will be consequences of that down the line.
Right.
But there's nothing stopping me from stopping paying.
You could stop paying, but what do you think? You think you're not going to be cut off from certain things? You think that they're not going to try to go after certain assets? You think that they're not going to – I mean, it will be incredibly, incredibly hard for Greece to go on that. Even Argentina tried to pull that off, and they still had to wind up offering people some money in order to do that, and they have their own currency.
Right. So what do you think is more realistic then? They just say, okay, we can't pay 100%. We'll pay what we can, or we'll pay 50%, or we'll pay 20%.
They already got kind of a haircut like already with some of their debtors because they're really – you know, they're not really getting equivalent money to a certain extent with some of the stuff that's going on. But I think that in order to get what these guys want, their only way really is to go and like get out of the euro and like just default, like you said, and then let start negotiating from there and let the chips fall where they may.
Now, do you think that scenario is going to happen?
Well, I'll tell you what, I thought at the beginning of the year, my predictions, I thought that scenario was very remote because of where things were. But I mean, I would say that the possibilities are well north of 10%. I'm not going to say it's over 50% now, but heck, that's come back into a really serious possibility now.
And again, let me ask my question again. If that came to play, what are the ramifications? Are you going to see a bounce back on that to the economy of the rest of Europe? Are you going to see an effect here, or is it just Greece that's screwed?
I mean, if Greece, I'm trying to figure out,
because is this one of those domino effect kind of things where if they fall, all of a sudden
no.
all kinds of other
no,
people fall?
No, no. No, look, Argentina has been in default, and they've been in default again for like a couple of years. I don't think it hasn't had a domino effect. I really don't think that there is any domino effect from Greece going, you know, the nuclear option. Okay,
so what's the finance?
Well, a whole bunch of people aren't going to get paid. If you got Greek bonds, you're fucked.
Well, what's the downside for Greece?
Well. What's the downside for Greece? Well, look, quite a lot of instability, quite an inability to pay people, because what's going to happen if they change from the euro into let's say they go back to the Greek drachma. Look, they used to the Greeks suffered from hyperinflation for extended periods of time, you know, because nobody believed their damn currency. Okay, so that will certainly cause quite a lot of pain to people who, you know, spend to everybody in the country. I mean, inflation typically is very painful. Main reason is if you want to borrow money and you're in a very highly inflationary country, interest rates are crazy. All right. They're insane. Okay, because you got to charge a bazillion dollars because you're loaning right now, and the value of that debt is devaluing quickly. So the only way to recover the money is by charging stupidly high interest rates. So that causes problems. Okay, then you've got a problem that usually people's salaries don't rise as quickly as the cost of living does. So people wind up in situations where they are getting really their lifestyle is getting seriously impacted because the price of everything is going up far quicker than their income is going up. And so it really becomes a very painful scenario for anybody that lives in Greece. And it's just doing business internationally. If you've got a – when people have currency stability in a country like that to do foreign trade, it's always very complicated, okay? You can't predict how much you're going to get. You don't want to do a deal. You don't want to hold their money. You don't want to accept their money. It's just utterly complicated. I did a number of deals in foreign currency dealing with Venezuela, which has similar issues or if not even worse right now to them. I had to do some crazy shit in order to transact business in Venezuela because of inflation and all this shit. I mean, the kind of things that you wind up doing because of these situations are just bizarre. Okay? They're just bizarre. And they make business very difficult, and it impacts everybody. So, you know.
Okay. Bottom line, you think things may happen, but it doesn't sound like there's
maybe they'll blink. You got a month and a half to go. Maybe they'll blink. Maybe it's just saber rattling because they just got into government like 3 days later.
But it sounds like even if everything happens, it's not going to be catastrophic. So what's the big deal?
I don't think it's going to be catastrophic. I really don't. But there's a lot of people that think it is. So I am of the opinion that it's not catastrophic.
Okay, we are over. Let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll talk about the Middle East a little bit. Back after this. Okay, we're back. So, the king of Saudi Arabia died. But he'd been the king of Saudi Arabia died. There's a new one. What do we think?
I don't think much is going to change.
And the one thing that has been really highlighted once again, and, you know, has been occasionally brought up before, but is with the attention of Saudi Arabia, everybody once again remarks on, well, just how bad Saudi Arabia is in terms of human rights, in terms of religious freedom.
Yeah. But guys, you know, every time I hear that story,
yes.
Do you want to make a fucking list of all the countries in the world that are just as bad as they are? How many of them are?
Well, the difference is,
yeah,
that in the case of Saudi Arabia, we work very, very carefully to maintain a really good relationship with them and not mention this stuff as much as we can avoid mentioning it. There are a lot of other bad countries where we're perfectly happy to say, oh, okay, you suck on this and you suck on that.
But, I'm sorry, but there's countries like, for example, Singapore has lashed people for doing shit. Do we go around and just fucking like pound Singaporeans for being a fucking for doing that?
Well, I mean, the issue that the reason this always comes up is it's just sort of, you know, whenever you look at things through sort of instead of looking at them from the point of view of sort of realpolitik kind of stuff, if you look at it in terms of, OK, which country is actually the worst, which country is better, you know, in lots of objective ways, for instance, Saudi Arabia is worse than Iran is. But yet, Iran's the big devil enemy, and Saudi Arabia is our friend.
The reason is because, let's be clear about this, the Saudis aren't actively looking to develop nuclear weapons and funding people that want to fucking bomb the shit out of us. The Iranians are!
I'm not entirely sure of that. There's been a bunch of evidence that Saudi Arabia was heavily involved in helping fund a lot of the groups that turned into the Islamic State, and they sort of backed off once it became public. Of course, we were too. Yeah.
Well, exactly. But my point is, but they weren't funding them with the purpose of that. Is my point? Just because? Look, we funded the idiots that took over Afghanistan for God's sakes for freaking 10 years. It wasn't so they would come back and fucking.
Right.
You know,
well, the point of this is, again, like, our foreign policy is by no means a let's determine how well we like this country's policies and then we will be friends or not friends based on how close they are to some sort of Western ideal.
I totally agree. It has nothing to do with that.
It's not how we do it at all. Saudi Arabia is our friend because they're willing to be our friend. They're willing to be friendly to us and they've got a shitload of oil.
Right.
You know, if Saudi Arabia didn't have the oil, we probably wouldn't give a shit one way or another.
Right.
If Saudi Arabia decided to become belligerent, then all of a sudden, all of the things that they do that we don't mention very much today, or at least our government doesn't mention very much today, would all of a sudden be like part of the propaganda against how evil they are, you know? You know, they behead people in the street just like the Islamic State does for very similar. They beheaded people within the last couple months for witchcraft.
Right. Yes.
You know, and it's like, let me just say it would be nice. I know this is like a pie in the sky, idealistic world, but it would be nice if we could have some sort of consistency on these kinds of things where we had some sort of
uniform. Like I said, we're just going to recognize as other states the people who
we should recognize absolutely everybody, but like we shouldn't be being lovey-dovey, providing aid to, selling weapons to, all this kind of stuff, states that are just demonstrably bad. Of course we should have diplomatic relations. We should have diplomatic relations with everybody. I think it's ridiculous to cut diplomatic relationships because of reason X, Y, or Z. You know, there's no reason not to talk to people. But talking to people is very different than actively supporting them.
Yeah, I just look. I think every time that I get into these debates about, well, which countries are we going to be friends with or not, right?
Yeah,
it's such a slippery slope. So who is, you know, who hasn't committed like what we don't want them to do?
The
problem is it's stuff that we do, for God's sake.
Well, I was about to say one of the problems here,
we've waterboarded people, imprisoned people,
by any standards, by any standards I would put out if I was
you wouldn't be allies with the United States either.
That's right, I wouldn't be. I mean, we're pretty much. Yeah, we're pretty much talking about, you know, a couple of Nordic countries and we're done, you know?
Yeah, basically.
Denmark, Finland,
that's about.
Yeah, and then you're done.
And you know what? You probably can find faults in those too.
Oh, yes,
so,
I'm sure.
Yeah, so
In fact, I know already like some things that would be problematic, but you
exactly.
know.
Exactly. So,
but you know, there's a scale of these things, and there are rankings that are put out every once in a while, and blah blah blah.
You know,
blah,
it's a whole bunch of shades of gray, and I just, you know what? I don't know what to say. Look, it's just, if I got another country that wants to be friends with me, and unless I'm gonna go and like, if I recognize the country, I guess I'm gonna just be friends with them. Now, would I encourage, to treat people better and like better human rights and stuff? Yes. Am I gonna go and like have dinner with them and go and like give them the finger in the middle of dinner? Hey, fuck you! You beheaded that guy in the street. No. But I, you know, we fucking execute people in this country too.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
There were just some killed today, this evening.
Yeah. So, I...
Anyway, let's move on. Speaking of countries that we could cut off aid to, let's talk about Israel.
Let's talk about Israel. So we're gonna cut off aid to Israel too. There you go. Let's get rid of every country, make no friends with nobody in the Middle East. So they got bombed.
You know, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Just be like, you know, the whole region's screwed. We don't care. We're getting out. We're done. Whatever done. Happens, happens.
We're out. Yeah. There you go.
Anyway, Israel, the latest hubbub is that Netanyahu was invited to speak in front of Congress, in front of a joint session of Congress.
Wait a minute. That's one thing. So he was invited, right?
I believe so. I believe like Bonnier originated this.
And then, of course, he decided to go just say, oh, okay, great. Instead of saying, you know, I would like to talk to the White House first.
Well, there are a couple things. First, according to protocol, Bonnier should not have made this invitation without having talked to the White House either. Correct. And apparently they're actually American laws that, if they were construed properly, and of course they won't be because of the situation, but like that prohibit individuals outside of the executive branch from conducting foreign policy.
Correct. Yeah, that was
which is essentially kind of sort of what's going on here.
What Bonner's doing, yes.
Now, so there's that. Then there's Netanyahu saying yes. Then there's the fact that there's an election coming up in Israel, and this is considered potentially almost, you know, material aid for his campaign.
Correct.
In Israel. Yep. And all of this going back and forth without consultation with the State Department or the administration. So yep. The administration is pissed about this. The administration said they're not going to make time to meet with Netanyahu while he's
in town. I wouldn't.
They've been raising rhetoric over the last 24, 48 hours about a lot of this having actually been organized by the relatively new Israeli ambassador to the United States, and how maybe we don't want him to be the ambassador anymore.
Okay.
And so, you know, U.S.-Israel relationships have never been all that great during the Obama administration.
But this is a new low. Oh, this is a new low. No doubt about it.
And so, you know, anything going to come of this? Are they going to back off? Is this visit actually going to happen?
I think that moron will visit and will give his speech and will drive relations like between the U.S. and Israel further down, because I don't think he gives a shit.
Do you think it will actually help him in his election in Israel?
I don't know. That's a great question. I can't talk about Israeli politics.
Yeah, I just know Jack, to be honest.
Yeah, and I don't know. This could may well backfire on him. It's a massive gamble.
The opposition parties in Israel, I have seen some reports that they are incredibly pissed by this too.
Because they
view this as a straight up election ploy to get attention and publicity right before the Israeli election.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. So, I mean, it can't be anything else. I mean, how is doing this improving relations between the U.S. in Israel. Not in any stretch.
Well, I mean, it, you know, frankly, if I'm Obama, you know, I'm already thinking that that Netanyahu specifically, I'm not going to say the Israelis, because it really is Netanyahu and Likud specifically, are a pain in my ass in terms of, I want to get a deal with Iran. I want to reduce tensions with Iran. I want to move things towards normalization. I want to find a solution that prevents them from getting a nuclear weapon, but also just defuses the tensions and makes things a little bit more normal again. And the Israelis and the neocons in the U.S. clearly want exactly the opposite. They don't want any deal. They want tensions to be ramped up. They would love a good excuse to go to war. And so they're already at odds. And I would look at this as yet another, well, fuck Israel then.
Right.
You know, then, you know, they're clearly not going to work with me in any way. They're clearly doing everything they can to possibly obstruct this. So I'm going to double down on my efforts to make a deal and and push it through in whatever way I can, you know, recognizing that certain things I can't do without Congress and probably won't be able to given the current makeup of Congress. But I am going to do everything I can in the remaining year and a half, year and three quarters of my administration. I guess it's actually almost 2 years still.
2 years.
To make this deal happen. And the more they try to pull these kinds of tricks, the more determined I'm going to be to make that happen.
Hell yeah. Sure.
You know, now, he may or may not succeed, but it's certainly like if you're trying to say, you know, is this a smart move by either the Republican, the neocons, or even just the Republicans in general, or Netanyahu to get what they want as an end result? I'd say no. I'd say this makes, you know, it you know, the Obama is going to be even more determined than ever to continue in the direction he's going. And this isn't going to stop that at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So anyway, all right.
Time's up.
Call time.
Okay. We will be back after this, you know, something. Back after this.
Something.
Information. Okay, now we're back. Now, actually, you know, I'm realizing we're trying to keep this to 4 15-minute segments, and I've actually I've been reducing the timer by 1 minute a day, and we're down to 12 minutes this time, because when you add breaks and us going over and stuff, we still end up over an hour. So we're trying to target this to an hour, but we had an intro segment plus two segments at this point, so I say we cut out one of our two. I say let's skip the GOP presidential stuff this time around. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that. This is Sam from the future here. Not much happening with the GOP race. Yeah, well, we spend the next couple of minutes talking about why we're not talking about it and that, you know, a few little things that happened over the weekend. But of course, after we recorded this, and actually while I was putting this thing together on Friday the 30th, Mitt Romney comes out and officially announces that he's not running, despite the teasing he's done for the last couple of weeks. And I guess we'll talk about that next week. Damn, that would have been so much more fun. Oh, well. Anyway, back to the show. Doo doo doo.
Yeah, we got plenty of
time. There were some interesting, you know, things and some stuff to laugh at. But
the only thing that I had of note that I wanted to mention about it, I can mention it real quick before we go into the Apple stuff, is just, you know, there's this article about Rupert Murdoch basically just shitting all over Mitt Romney, how he just hates him.
Yeah.
Hey, that was the one thing that I saw this week.
There was Sarah Palin's rambling speech. There was the announcement.
Did you see her holding a sign that says "fuck you" to something like that?
And there was the announcement that the Koch brothers, is that what you say? Koch?
The Coke.
Anyway, they've committed to putting in $100 billion. No, $800 million, right?
Yeah, $800 billion. No,
$800 million. So just short of $1 billion into the 2016 race.
Well, you know, so we'll see. And I would love them to do that because they have been just massively successful at just throwing money away.
Little
in return. So.
And we had a whole bunch of candidates give speeches and stake out positions and stuff in Iowa. And we had Bush, Paul, and Romney all stayed away from that. Anyway, but we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. Let's talk about Apple.
Mm-hmm.
So Apple announced earnings. And apparently they just announced it was just okay.
They only announced, and it's still every time I read the headline that said this, it's just so shocking. It was the single largest quarterly profit ever by a public company ever.
Yes.
Ever. I mean staggering amount. Okay, all right. But wait,
Yvonne, how can this be? I thought Apple was on the ropes and their products weren't growing anymore.
Right, wasn't it? And everybody was just going off. Here's the funnier headline also about this, right? Because, you know, we've been talking about this and we are Apple fanboys. But look, I am an investor as well, so I'm realistic about these things, okay?
Because the stock split, I'm up to 7 shares. I have 7 shares.
Oh, there you go. So, you know, I have a few more than those. But anyway, the one thing that was just hilarious is that, and you and I kept talking about this because everybody kept talking about, oh my God, they're just being unsold in units. They're being unsold in units. And I'm like, who cares? If I can sell one phone at $600 and you're going to sell two at $150, who cares? Fuck you. Sell two phones. Here, let me give you a couple of numbers. Samsung mobile phones, profit margin. They sold the same number of phones as Apple did. Okay, yeah, all right.
That was another notice that Apple's caught up and tied them.
Correct, in volume. Samsung's net margin on mobile phones, 7.5%. Okay?
Yeah.
Apple's, 39%. The other thing is that Apple went and sold more phones than everybody else in China in the last quarter. And they were their phones were four times – because everybody said Apple will not grow in China unless they launch a cheap phone.
Right.
Well, guess what? You're all wrong. Apple outsold everybody on phones with phones that were priced four times the price – that the competitors' phones, okay? So I was like, you know, this is just one of these things where it's just, what do you want me to tell you? I mean, you know, they completely, you know, everybody that kept saying all this bullshit, you know, which I kept saying, they absolutely have no idea what they're talking about because, you know, there's just so much time and they basically just obliterated all these people in one fell swoop.
Yeah, I saw one comparison with comparing the amount of profit that Apple made in the last quarter with the combined profit of Microsoft, Google, and like I forget who else, like one or two more, over the last like 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and Apple still beat them.
Something like that. Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know.
Maybe not Microsoft, but it was a couple of different tech companies where you added them up, and they still couldn't get to that number.
It wasn't just you add up several companies. It was comparing the quarterly profit for Apple versus like the profit they've made in years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just insane. You know, now.
And of course, they're still sitting on a huge mountain of cash as well.
About 10 years ago, I had this discussion. I was talking about companies to invest, okay? And we had this discussion, you know, this was like, there was this guy that was like going and talking about Dell and how Dell was going to be great. Dell's just, you know, taking over the IT industry. And I had this, and I told the guy, and I said, you know, and I was very much the counter argument on this because I went and I said, listen, operational excellence is not a business strategy, okay? Just because you can make something better, if you don't have a strategy of what to make, it doesn't matter. If that can be copied, okay? What can't be copied is the product itself. You know, if you come out with a product that people want more, if you come out with something that works better or those things.
Well, and of course, the whole notion of the PC industry, the Windows PC industry,
right,
for that whole time period was make it a commodity.
Exactly.
Make it a generic commodity that you can swap in and out at will.
Exactly. And all those companies that were doing that and were just basically doing that, they're basically like sucking wind. Okay, right now. It's just, you know, they're all of them. So it shows that model definitely works better than the other model. It showed that a lot of people, now I will say this. There's a lot of one of the reasons why Apple is doing so well in China, okay, right now, I was reading about this today, is because the Chinese are even way more than Americans status conscious, okay, all right? Very much so. Having an iPhone, having an Apple phone is such a status symbol that they are willing to pay 3 to 4 times the price to have that status symbol. That's just the reality. And, you know, they would rather have that than have some shit phone.
Right.
So that's what's driving this. Now, look, you know, some people are saying, well, Apple can't continue to depend on just one product. Look, here's the thing. You take the numbers, strip out the iPhone, okay, all right? You strip out the iPhone right now. Say Apple didn't have the iPhone. Say we just, you know, they jettisoned that, doesn't exist. Outside of that, right now, Apple is an $80 billion company without the iPhone. $80 billion in revenue a year, okay? They are still huge, okay, even without the damn iPhone right now. And to talk about Apple being an $80 billion company right now without the iPhone, okay, in terms of size.
Which is their biggest, most successful, most profitable item in the
product. Yeah. I mean, it just talks about how – look, I mean, 15 years ago, I mean, Apple, you know, Michael Dell said, you know, to shut it down and give the money back to the stockholders, for God's sakes. And total revenue for Apple was $6 billion like 15 years ago. I mean, right now they make 4 times that in a quarter an operating profit, for God's sakes. It's just, honestly, you know, the numbers were just, I knew there were going to be blowouts. I knew it was going to be a blowout. I will say this. I will tell you this, that I knew it was going to be such a blowout. I actually poured a ton of money into buying more stock in the last month.
Hmm.
I actually did. One of my best friends thought I was crazy, but I told him, I'm just dumping a ton of money into more Apple stock. And he said, are you out of your mind?
If nothing else, just the fact that you look around and see how many damn iPhone 6s there are.
That's my point. You know what? I didn't need a goddamn report to tell me this. Look at all the Wall Street people. It's just, I realized, holy shit. There is just, you know what? It used to be that some product launches of Apple phones, you see one here, you see one there, blah, 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 blah. My God. I mean, I was going around, fuck, everybody bought one of these. I was like, holy shit. I mean, I was just.
My wife has a 6 Plus now.
I look, and I'm like, I don't. I will say this, but my God, I mean, my trainer, the one that got rid of my pain, he bought a 6 plus. My downstairs neighbor's got a 6. I mean, Jesus, by the way, everybody, all of my nephew, I got 6 nephews of mine, my dad, my mom, my sister, they all bought iPhone 6s. All of them. Mm-hmm. In Christmas. All of them. Okay? All in one shot. I was like, Jesus, I'm the only fucking guy that didn't buy a fucking 6. I'm like, okay. I feel kind of like, you know, like I'm the one guy who didn't buy one. Our resident Samsung fanboy at the office bought a 6 Plus. I was like, Jesus, really? So.
Yeah, well, you know, I can tell you that we're you know, holding off a little bit for budgetary reasons, but it is almost inevitable that, you know, my wife got hers already because she smashed her phone. But myself and my daughter are probably getting 6s or 6 pluses within the next 3 to 6 months. We will have them.
I actually, you know what? Me and my wife, we bought phones. You know, we bought a 5S and a 5C when they came out, and we just, you know what? We were like, they're in perfect shape. I don't have any rush right now.
All of ours are having various age related issues.
Batteries tempted, don't shot, get me wrong,
things like that. But
because I was tempted, because I, the one because
we have 5s, not 5Cs.
Yeah, I know. You got 5s. I know. And I have a 5S and she's got a 5C. So the one reason why I was tempted to get the phone was because of what didn't happen when they launched the 5S, because I had been hoping for one with 128 gigabytes.
And now there is.
And now there is. And I will tell you what, that I almost went and bought one, and I just went and said, you know what? No, my phone's working fine. I'm going to hold off. But anyway,
yeah. So any other, besides the sheer magnitude of it, any other big highlights that came out of this? They announced April as the release date for the watch.
I don't know. We're still waiting on a new Apple TV. I you know, I will say this, that I got a new Apple. I got a second. I wanted to get an Apple TV, and I kept waiting for a new one to come out. And I got a second one for our bedroom. You know, over the holidays. I mean, it's just freaking $99. And I was just like, oh, whatever, fine. So if they come out with another one, buy another one. I mean, it's freaking $99. And I, you know what? I want it to be better, but it is, you know, honestly, it's so nice and convenient, the damn thing. Can I be honest? You know, yeah. I know that there's some other boxes that have some better features and some stuff on whatever. Roku, they have a good, you know, they have a good interface and stuff. I've heard about that, how it's got search and stuff and whatever. But I am so invested into the Apple ecosystem, exactly, that to me that, to get that,
that's
it wouldn't work well with me. It just wouldn't. If I didn't have all these other devices from the Apple ecosystem, then it probably would be, you know, would be good. But since I'm invested in there, it really works so smoothly with everything else. It's just pointless for me to do that. It would be stupid. So anyway, all right. So
so I guess that's it.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
You sound sad.
Well. We have been, like, the last couple of weeks, we need to try to, you know what, we need to do next week. We have a list of topics that we haven't talked about. We're going to have to do, like, one segment where we just go through those topics, and in 1 minute we have to go and, like, give our opinion on them.
Oh, of the things we haven't talked about.
Yes, we do.
Like last week, you mentioned there might be this thing with the bombing in Buenos Aires.
Right.
We haven't talked about Ukraine in a while. We haven't talked about Yemen. Yep. We haven't talked about the spies that were arrested in New York, the snowstorm in New York. Yeah. Drone attack on the White House. Yes.
So next quote, unquote, week, I suggest that we do a quick rundown on all those topics. So we're going to have to do
a lightning round.
Yeah, a lightning round. Yes.
Okay.
That's not a bad idea. So we should have one that's a lightning round.
Okay. We'll see how that works. Okay.
We'll give something a try. There you go.
Yeah, spice. There you go. Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening once again. We'll see, like, you know, we're trying to shorten these and get down under an hour. We were very close last week. We'll see how we do this week. But, you know, I feel kind of cramped in an hour now after we did longer shows for a while. But anyway, it probably makes for a better show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com or reach us on Twitter. I'm at abelsmay. Yvonne is at IamBo. We love to hear from you. And, of course, tell your friends to listen. Review us online. Share us on social media. You know, and send us all the money you want.
And send us money. I mean, you know, we'll put it to good use. Believe me, we'll put it to good use.
We'll get, order a pizza or something.
Yeah. That'd be good. There you go. We can order, you know, that's what we should do. We should try to order a pizza simultaneously in both places.
There you go. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.